Okay. Our speaker tonight is Amy, and she will share her experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes, and she'll name the topic somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, we'll have the topic. So we'll see what it is. Go ahead, Amy. It's all yours.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Amy, and I will qualify my programs. It's interesting because I can say my name is Amy and I'm a recovered this or that, this and that. And there's a long list of that now. A compulsive debtor, spender, under earner, sex addiction, sex and love addiction. And I have worked the Big Book Awakening process through obsessive and compulsive skin picking. And also I had started this in 2020 with the intention of doing controlling, fixing, chaos creating Al-Anon. So it was interesting how God moved me to where God wanted me to be. I'm going to say needed me to be, because that has really been my experience. And I was joking before the meeting started that I am more humanly unprepared for this speaking than I have been in a very long time. And it did not mean I didn't sit down and ask or do the work or consider it or all of those things. And I just kept getting a blank slate. And I wrote last night about how uncomfortable it is for me to show up as I am, and not something prepared that I might find hopeful or encouraging or positive, especially when my life has been full of challenges lately. I looked at the topic of fear and recovery in the present moment. And I thought about that because we are always in the present moment. And yet somehow I thought that, I don't know, I've been in recovery for 18 years. This is my 18th year. And I always thought there was a there. I would arrive. I would get to this place, you know? And much of my life, the past, especially the past 5 months, it's almost like God has been breaking me into tiny little bits, has been uprooting my entire foundation. When we look at the book and it talks about remove these things, root and branch. I look at this big, large tree across the street from me, and it is enormous. And I think of how deep and how strong those roots are. And that really reflects on what this work and life has been for me lately. I think mostly because I was looking up these words too in the book, where it talks about, I hear so many people, and I myself subscribe to this, like on page 133, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. And then I look at page 164, and it says, you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. So I always thought in my mind that there was this place I would get to, this place of happiness and hope and bliss, and that almost I would stay. Like somehow all of this work, all of this recovery would, I don't want to say excuse me, but maybe excuse me from the human experience. And if I'm not careful, I can look at these words and think to myself that I'm failing, that I'm doing it wrong, because I don't feel that way a lot lately. I feel the increments. And when I looked at a couple of these a little bit deeper, because that's what this work allows me to do, we turn statements into questions and considerations. I don't look at this text like it means the same thing for everybody. The instructions remain the same, but I get to lay my experience on top of it and see what it means to me. And that's what makes it so enriching and open for me. That's why I can do this work. Because when I started coming into recovery, I wanted someone to tell me how to do it. And then I twisted myself into a pretzel mess if it didn't fit for me. And I knew intuitively when it didn't fit. But I still wanted so desperately to be liked and loved and approved of that I did everything I was supposed to do, thinking that was the thing and forgetting that that was the thing that got me to the thing. All this work gets me to God. All this work is not God. And I mean that in a way, for some of us think that if we do all the things, we will get an A and we will pass with flying colors, maybe, and then I'll be good. But I'm learning to live in this experience right now and not in the there. When I get there, then, you know, kind of thing. So I looked at this last night. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. Those words are capitalized. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. That's capitalized too. Why I say that is when you look at the chapter of We Agnostics, there's all these capital letters, you know, great. Beyond, I just made that up. I'm not sure what they are, but there's all these capitalized terms. I guess I can turn to it and pull one out now, can't I? That is used in place of God of reason. There's all these things in here that are utilized, supreme being, power, in replace of God. So when I looked at that, I was like, oh, fellowship of the Spirit. Okay, that means God will surely, we shall be with you in that fellowship. We shall be with you with God, in God. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road, as you trudge to God. And I was like, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because this is so much work lately. It's so much work for me to be a human. You know, I look at this other place where it talks about, and it says, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. But then it starts to say, we cannot subscribe to the belief that life is a veil of tears. This is on page 133, though it once was just for many of us, but it's to be clear that we made our own misery. God didn't do it. Avoid then the deliberate manufacture of misery, but if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate his omnipotence. And the reason I looked at that and I went, oh, okay. See, I make my own misery when I'm attached to what I think my life should be. But when I listened to that third step prayer, and I knew I should have bookmarked it in my book, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thy will. Wow. I suddenly do not have that choice anymore of what I think my life should look like or be. And if I really believe that God is taking care of me and my life, because when I do that fear work, that we have done, that fear grid, that fear train, which I love, you know, I just love that analogy of the fear train. And it says in this page 67, we set in motion trains of circumstance. And I just board it without even letting the conductor ask for my ticket. Like I just jump on it and take it for a ride, you know? But it was like this thing that I can actually, when it comes, to look at it as an opportunity to demonstrate that God has taken, when I say his omnipotence, that means all seeing, all knowing, all loving, all God. Wow. So that means to me that God's going to get me through this, whatever this is that's going on. And, you know, I can go back through and look at these sections here also. Oh, there's, you know, I just turned the page and there's this phrase that says he would have on page 68, he would have us and humbly, I'm sorry, it starts, the sentence starts, just to the extent as we do, as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? Again, he would have us, God would have me, and I rely on God. And I'm not relying on myself. Self-reliance failed me. I see that. Thank you. It's funny because usually when I'm talking and I see the timer give me time, I'm like, oh, I've got so much more to say. And this panic, what comes up now? Fear. Like, holy cow, how am I supposed to say more? And have I said anything that makes sense? I'm telling you, this is like Amy Unscripted, which is so uncomfortable for me. It's so uncomfortable. So I look at this phrase, we never apologize, the next paragraph on page 68, we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our creator. We can laugh, we think spirituality is the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it's the way of strength. And I'll tell you, I never really understood that until now, but to trust, because I let go of something that I loved so much 5 months ago. I mean, I loved it. It was a relationship that I loved, I loved, I loved, and it was good through and through. But there were a couple of things that just weren't working. And we prayed, and I believe that we were aligned with God's will. That's the other thing. Prayer is not going to bring me what I want. Prayer is going to give me the power to align with God's will. And that is a huge difference. That is a huge difference, right? Because I think, well, if I pray, some people pray and this happens. Some people pray and this, maybe. Maybe it was just supposed to happen anyway. Maybe we just prayed because that's what we do. But, you know, it's been so, to lean into God, to trust that God has got this, to trust that God is working this out, is so much courage. Faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. You know, I read something too that talked about the author of this book or authors did not like to repeat words. So when I see words, that's why you'll see in steps, I think it's 6 and 7, those different phrases, but they may mean the same thing. But coming from that school of thought, when you don't repeat. So when I see that faith means courage, all men of faith have courage. I heard this. It's interesting because I did a workshop in 2021. Holy cow. When I look at that too, and I took the Big Book Awakening process and I worked with so many people that were just kind and graceful with their time to translate it for obsessive and compulsive skin picking, which had never been done. But I thought, again, I looked at the people that had gone before me and thought, well, if they can do it, we can do it too, because that's what this work does. You know, there's nothing different. There's nothing special. There are people that I also look at speakers and I think, oh, they're so dynamic, or I'll never have what they want, or I'll never. No. We are just all workers among workers, and we all have different roles to fill. You know, so maybe my role is just to receive their message, and their message is to speak it. I told you I'm all over the map. But regardless, I translated this workshop, and about halfway through, I got really ill. And there was a bunch of people that came in and filled in for me. And do you know that 2 years later, now I'm going back and editing that workshop? because I to put it online, so I'm editing out voices, so it's just my own, and that work is coming to save me. And I never imagined that I did it all for other people, and it ended up saving myself, which is wild. And that's what this work is all about, right? But I'm recently into this fear section and looking at fear and courage and all the times where I really believed in the present moment I was not going to make it. And I can look and string them together little by little by little by little. But the one thing that's current throughout all that time is the fact that I made it and something else had the power besides me. Because self-reliance failed me. It didn't keep that relationship together at that time the way I wanted it to be. But it brought me to where I am today, where my, thank you, I see that. But the power to make it through brought me where I need to be today. And so it's this wild trust in the process. I've got some post-it notes on my wall that I look at from where I'm sitting. Trust the process, says one of them. Have you asked God yet? Says another one. Trust your intuition, says another. And go with your gut. God lives there. I love that. Someone gave that to me. And people have given all that to me, along with other ones that I put where I can see them regularly. Anyway, I think what I just want to wrap up with is this concept of, for me, all men of faith have courage. And I also want to say that I think all men, all women, all human beings have fear. And it's not that I heard myself say this in one of those workshops I'm editing lately, that some people say, well, I can't have faith and fear. They can't be in two places at the same time. But I'm not sure that I agree, that I believe that I can have both. I have fear, and yet it's like having all these things going on in your life. And when I focus on one, it doesn't mean the other goes away. It just means that's where I pull the power from. So all these things that are happening in my life that I have so much fear around, what's going to happen, God? How's it going to work out? What are you doing? Is this thing on? Can you even hear me? Sometimes, like, hello? You're muted, God. Like, that's what I want to say. But, you know, I just need to focus on what my work is for today, what God would have me be. That's the thing I will end on, is that this fear prayer on page 68. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And I want to really point out there that it does not say, I ask God to remove my fear and direct my attention to what God would have me do. It doesn't say, what am I supposed to do? It doesn't say, who am I supposed to be? Because I can get really caught up in those. What am I supposed to do? I'll take action, 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 action. Or who do you want me to be? Do you want me to be Amy Superstar? Do you want me to be Amy, like, terrible person? What do you want? Who do you want me to be? Or whose personality do you want me to take on today? It doesn't say any of that. It says, direct our attention to what God would have me be. Does God want me to be patient, kind, faithful? At once we commence to outgrow fear. And I think that means that when I place my focus when I place my focus on what God would have me be, I give room for God to do God's work. And if I truly, truly am surrendering my will, surrendering is a tough one. I'm saying I'm truly, truly aligning my will with God's will, because the problem is not that I have a will, it's that it's not aligned. But that gives that space to do that. Thank you. I see that. So I really hope in something that I've said today has resonated. It's so interesting. I wrote this sentence, watch it play out in your life. Ah, yeah, right. They were talking about, if I don't do my inventories on paper, I'm going to watch it play out in my life. I think that was Joe H. that said that. But you know, I can also take that and say, I can just watch my recovery also play out in my life. I don't have to be concerned, so worried about who and what and where and how it's going to look and affect and, you know, make a huge difference or anything in between. I can just show up and do the work and let go of the rest by focusing on that which is God. And that's how I let go. I don't have to worry about the action of letting go. I just have to change my focus and it will happen all of its own. So thank you for letting me share, and I will pass.